We are the Third Street Saints, and you are listening to the Rated NA podcast at nerdappropriate.com. Do it.
Hey guys, Ash from the Rated NA podcast. We have a very special guest today, actress Tara Platt, who's here to talk about her web series, Shelf Life, as well as her starring role in Saints Row the Third. I hope you guys enjoy. We have so much to talk about, and I don't want to keep you forever, but I have like this long list of stuff, and I actually had some people on Twitter ask some questions too, so we'll get to those as well. Great, but yeah. Just to start off, I just got down, just sat down to watch Shelf Life for the first time yesterday, cool. And I watched all the episodes.
Yay!
And yeah, and I absolutely fell in love with it, so now like we have a lot to talk about.
Oh, good. I'm really glad to hear that. Yeah. I'm glad that you enjoyed it, because it is one of those shows that I'm really passionate and excited about, but I feel like it's not getting out there to a wide enough group of people, and everyone keeps sending me notes like, why aren't more people watching? I'm like, I don't know. So I'm glad to hear that you liked it and that you're excited about it.
It is like, it is kind of painful when you do something that you pour your guts into creatively and you don't get the response that you're really looking for. So anything that I can do on my end to like help you guys, I'm there. I'm in your corner.
Well,
so
thank you. We'll know that we completely appreciate it, and we will take you up on that in its entirety, because we, you know, can use all the help we can get just pimping it out and telling people about it and sharing links and just getting more people to watch, because that is going to make or break the show. I mean, if we just still can't get people watching it, it's not going to make sense for us to keep making it, but we're really excited about it. And we've already got season 2 already locked and loaded.
Awesome.
It's ready to go. It's going to start airing the first Tuesday in February.
Excellent.
And then we're actually currently doing pre-production on season 3 right now. So I hope more people start watching.
Wow, good for you guys. We'll definitely help out as best we can.
Well, thank you.
All right, so let's start out. So for our listeners, we're here with Tara Platt, who is an actress / voice actress / producer / writer / pretty much everything you can possibly do creatively. Did I say writer already as well?
Yes.
Okay, I did. So you're a writer as well, which is awesome. And you know what? It's really funny. My first exposure to you is last year when we were asking some of our friends on Twitter, who should we interview? A couple people actually, you know, said your name, and I didn't know of you as of last year.
Yeah.
And then, you know, your name was always in the back of my head. Like, I need to get in touch with Tara Platt and see if I can interview her. And then the other day I beat Saints Row the Third, and I saw your name as the avatar that I've been playing as. And I loved your role in Saints Row the Third. I thought it was totally hilarious and so well done and so over the top and just like an absolute joy to play as this, you know, tough Russian badass, you know, female avatar. It was so good.
I'm so glad to hear that.
Yeah, I wanted to compliment you on that. But then I remember actually, weren't you guys at Comic-Con this summer promoting Shelf Life?
Yeah.
Okay, so we were there too, and I remember seeing Shelf Life on the program, but I didn't get a chance to go out and see you guys. So that's where I actually first heard of Shelf Life as well. Oh. So why don't you give us a rundown about the show and maybe tell some of our listeners what the general premise is and, you know, how they can watch it and maybe tell them some stuff that may appeal to them.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's a web series. It's comedic and it's scripted. It's this very irreverent comedy about 4 action figures on a young boy's shelf. And all the antics that we get up to when the boy's not in the room or asleep or not looking. It's very much adult humor in the sense that, like, it's as if somebody took Toy Story and gave them all crack. And so, you know, if these toys come to life doing these things that the toys may do, but we take it to this degree that it's very sort of silly and irreverent, and we poke fun at things, and it's you know, we talk about politics and sex and drugs and all sorts of sort of taboo ideas from their world, but it's short and fast and funny. And so we try to always look at things in a sort of irreverent way. But I love the show. I think it's a lot of fun, and I think it's something that hasn't really been explored in that way. I mean, sure, there are things out there like Toy Story, but that's coming from a much more heartfelt place, and
it's
for kids. It's geared toward kids. And, you know, I mean, I'm sitting in my husband's office right now. My husband is Yuri Lowenthal, who probably many of your listeners are also familiar with if they're familiar with VO work as well, because he works a lot in video games and animation. And his office is filled with all these little action figures, you know? And I mean, it's one of these things that, you know, I come in here every day and I'm like, oh, look at all these action figures. And I got this idea to have these action figures coming to life and what their experience must be. Now, of course, the show figures. These are all brand new characters. So we created Hero Man to sort of be this goofy, doofy sort of hero character, but isn't really actually heroic in and of himself. and then there's Hero Last. Oh, that character is played by Travis Willingham, who probably many of your listeners may also be familiar with from his VO work and all his talented on-camera work.
And he is so funny in show.
Oh my God.
He is hilarious.
And working with him literally is a joy because he is so funny and such a cool guy and so nice to be around. And just, he's just an all-around good guy and he's so talented that it's just, it really is. I mean, we are having as much fun on the shelf as you think that we are probably having.
Like, yeah, it looks just, like you guys are having a ball.
Yeah, it's one of those things that when we shoot the show, we're all sort of sad that it's done. I mean, of course, it's exhausting and tiring when you're making anything. But yes, it's a really good group of people. And so jumping back, so the character I play is Hero Lass. And so Hero Man and Hero Lass are sort of from the same world. Mm-hmm. Because the one thing I did notice when you look at a lot of action figure shelves is, of course, sometimes people will group similar worlds together, like, oh, all the DC characters or all the, you know, like, mm-hmm. people sort of congregate that, but they don't always. And so I like the idea that you may have a shelf for this little kid that's got different kinds of characters from different worlds on it. And so Hero Man and Hero Lass are sort of together from boy that Yuri played.
Mm-hmm.
Wrote many of the episodes with our season one director, Paul Jenkins, who's also probably familiar to your fans.
Yes, indeed.
but he's sort of this, he's kind of like, people sort of compare him to The Tick a little bit, which he's not The Tick.
I can definitely see that, though.
Yeah, he's
kind of dumb oafish.
Yeah, but in a very different way from Hero Man. Like, he's sort of like this cocky kind of dry humor. He and Hero Man are always sort of poking at each other.
Yeah.
Sort of riling each other up. And then the last character is Samurai Snake. And he's kind of our Chewbacca of the group because he doesn't speak English. that's kind of the way that we sort of talk about him. But it's like the oldest of the characters as far as the sort of history for where the worlds of these characters come from. We sort of look at Samurai Snake as being sort of from an older, maybe 80s show, where
they just, like, stuck him on the shelf to
hang. Yeah, like the kid got him at a yard sale or something, you know, and he thought he looked cool. Whereas our characters are more from modern sort of TV shows.
Okay, I can see that.
So we kind of have that going. But yeah, so then it's kind of this idea of what's going to happen between those four people who are basically imprisoned on the shelf together because they can't get off the shelf until the kid takes them off the shelf. Yeah. Or we created this idea that yes, they can actually get down as long as the kid's not there or not looking or whatever. But you sort of have to deal with what goes on between these characters that are sort of forced to have to be together.
I love the adult nature of it all because it, I mean, it is like you mentioned Toy Story, but it's like pretty much the polar opposite of that. It's mm-hmm. like, what if these very sharp-witted adults were on a shelf together?
Yeah.
And they're, you know, and like the relationship, the episode that just made me die laughing was when Hero Man was hitting on your character, Hero Lass, uh-huh. and yeah. he didn't really realize, well, he realized that you're related, but he didn't realize right. that was sort of like taboo and not right. really allowed. But
yeah,
He wants to have sex with you anyway, but you're like, we'll never, ever do that.
Exactly.
It was so good. It was so good.
Oh, good. Well, I'm glad that you enjoyed it because it's really fun. And like you said, Travis is great and it's so fun to work off of him and work with him.
Excellent. So you guys are pressing on and you're in the process right now of recording season two, correct?
Well, season two has actually already been shot and it's throughout post. So most of the episodes are completely locked and now it's just a matter of getting like sound audio mix things
all sort of set.
But we're pretty ready to go on season two and it's actually beginning airing the first Tuesday in February. Now, I don't have a calendar in front of me, so I should have that date memorized, but I don't. I want to say it's something like the third or the seventh or something. If I knew calendars better, let me see if I can find it.
I don't have one in front
of me. It's whatever the first Tuesday is. We always air our show on Tuesdays for whatever reason. We decided Tuesday was a good day that you needed a little comedy in the middle of the week. And so, yeah, it airs on Tuesday. Let me see if I can find it. Oh, it's the 7th. I was right. Okay, so February 7th is when season 2 will premiere, even though I know it's online, which means, you know, you can access it any time after the 7th. You don't have to.
Absolutely. You know. And right now, just for our listeners, it's available on YouTube. Basically, you just go in and type in Shelf Life and you'll be able to find it.
Yeah, it's a little easier just because, you know, I'm not that familiar with YouTube in and of itself. I mean, I've gone there and I've watched a number of things throughout the last several years, but I wasn't that familiar with creating our own channel, and this is the first time I've done that. And so I've gotten a lot of sort of feedback from people that are a little more YouTube savvy saying I need to do a better job of like keywords and tags and stuff, because sometimes you'll type in Shelf Life and it's not as easy to find. But our channel title is youtube.com/shelflifetheseries.
Okay.
So if you just type that in, you will access the channel. Or if you just want to go to the website for the web series, it's www.shelflifeseries.com. And then that'll link you back to the YouTube channel, but it also has, you know, photos from when we were shooting and, you know, full credit lists and just other information on the show. So there's lots of stuff that you can find about.
I do have to pat you guys on the back because the quality on everything in the show is just incredible. It looks like you guys have an insane budget. Did I read correctly that your score is by Bear McCreary?
Yeah, Bear McCreary.
Ridiculous.
I know. I mean, we have it's the most talented group of people working together, and everyone's doing it for the love of the show. I mean, this is not a money sort of like, hey, come work on our thing because we are throwing money at you. It's like, hey, we've got this thing. We think it's kind of cool. Are you interested in helping us out? And we've gotten amazing responses and amazing people that we're working with. Just like you said, Bear has done the score for us, and his brother, who's also a talented musician in his own right, Brendan, who has his own band called Young Beautiful in a Hurry, they actually sing the theme song for us.
Oh, I love the theme song too.
Which is awesome. And what we're trying to do, because anyone that's watched the show has only actually heard a little clip of it because our show is only, you know, 1 minute to 3 minutes long. They're very, very short. So we don't have time to play the entire theme song. And so you're actually only hearing a little piece of it during the beginning credits and the end credits. And so we're going to have to try to do something because it's such a great theme song that Brendan wrote for us and sang. We're going to need to actually put it out in its entirety because the theme song lyrics are hysterical because we basically said, look, we love all these sort of pop songs that are Japanese band knockoffs of like American theme songs for cartoons, kind of, if that makes sense as an idea. And he was like, oh, I love it, I love it. And so he wrote the lyrics and the theme song, and they're hysterical when you read it because they don't really make sense. It's like somebody who doesn't speak English using English to write. It's great. It's fantastic.
That's great. That's awesome. Yeah, I'd love to hear the whole thing, definitely.
Yeah. So, and then of course, like the beginning title sequence, Jason Milligan did an amazing job with all that.
Oh, I love the slow fly through the window and everything. It's really cool. Yeah, so good.
And then Lino Stavoli of the Creature Company did not only building Samurai Snake's head, you know, like the creature that he is, but doing all of our costumes that were based on costumes by Eric White, who's a very talented cartoonist and cartoon comic writer in his own right. So, yeah, we just have an amazing team, which is phenomenal. I mean, we're so blessed to be working with such a talented group.
Awesome. I'm convinced that it just needs, you know, the right people just need to see it, and it's going to go incredibly insane because it is very, very funny. I loved it.
Well, thank you. Well, I'm really glad. And I have to say, now that I've watched most of season 2 because it's completed for us and we've gotten a chance to see it, I think everybody that has seen season 1 is really in for a treat because I just think it keeps getting better and better. And so I do urge people, if you have watched season 1, to please come back and watch season 2, because I cannot wait. Like, we have the trailer, which is going to go live on this coming Tuesday, or the teaser is going live for season 2 on Tuesday the 10th. So, like, you know, 4 days from now or whatever.
Cool.
And I'm literally like, I can't wait to put it online. Like, I'm so excited. It's just funny. Like,
good for you guys.
Yeah.
Well, I read something that you guys basically, you started your production company, basically because you and your husband, Yuri, both just love being creative and wanted something that you could control and basically be as creative as possible.
Yeah.
And I just think that's great. And I think that's great. You guys are just going after something you both really enjoy, you know?
Well, thank you. I do. I'm a firm believer that, you know, it's all great to be working in the world and to have other people coming to you and saying, hey, I want you to be a part of this. You know, you can get online, you can have access to everyone on the internet. You know, you can with your cell phone, you can make a video that people will see around the world. Like it's so accessible. It's almost not excusable if you have something that you are passionate about or you're committed to, or you just want to get better at what you're doing. You know, it's just, it's the idea that it might've been really hard a long time ago to do stuff like that, but now it's so easy that it feels like it's a crime in a way if you don't. And I just feel like, who wants to sit around and wait? I mean, sure, I want to get cast in, you know, somebody else's project so I'm not having to do all the work all the time. And I love being able to work on other people's creative vision and to get to add my flavor to that. Like, that's thrilling. But at the same time, if I'm not working with someone else and I'm not working on someone else's passion project, why shouldn't I be working on my own?
Yeah,
and
so we definitely couldn't agree with you more. We started our site a little about maybe a year and a half ago now. And it was, you know, a bunch of us would just sit around and always talk about movies and games. And you know, we all like to write and we like to talk to people and stuff. And finally, we just sat down and said, we just need to just do this and just do it for fun and have as much fun with it as possible. And we've been loving it, you know, and it's such a great creative outlet to be able to talk to people, you know, from various places in the industry and just have a blast doing it, which is, you know, so hats off.
Congratulations to you guys too. Cause it's a matter of making your own thing, you know, make your own way, make your own path. Cause the world is changing and it's evolving and it's not the same world that it was 50 years ago. And the way that people create careers and build jobs and make income and all of those things are not the same routes that people would have taken. And so we need to be creative and think outside the box and just do our own thing and build our own roads, you know?
Excellent. Let's shift gears for a couple of seconds here, because I do have a ton of stuff I want to ask you about. And actually, one of our questions from Twitter, from a frequent reader by the name of Justin, he asks, he wants to know that if your book that you wrote with your husband, voice actor, What's Like Behind the Mic, is available electronically yet.
It is. We've had a little bit of a problem trying to do like an iBook format because we had somebody that was supposedly formatting it for us and fell through. So right now, the only version that's like a PDF downloadable electronic ebook version is sold through Lulu. And if you go to our website for VoiceOver Voice Actor, which is voiceovervoiceactor.com, there is a link that will take you to either buying the hard copy edition or the electronic edition. And so you can just buy it that way. And our website also has the CD, which is the warm-up CD that accompanies the book, but it also has the electronic version, like the e-version MP3 as well. So if you just go to voiceovervoiceactor.com, you should be able to get whatever combination of items you would want.
Cool, very cool.
That kind of makes sense.
And how's the reception been to your book? Because writing a book is a huge undertaking. How did you guys find that whole experience?
Well, it goes back to just sort of us being a little bit of self-starters and me sort of being like, well, we could do anything, right? Let's just do this thing. And so Yuri kind of being like, all right, okay, I guess we could do that. And we have been getting a lot of emails and requests from friends and other actors and a lot of fans and people who are interested in getting in a voiceover, you know, asking how it works and how they can do it. And, you know, the very same sort of questions over and over again, which I understand. It's the question you would want to know if you're not involved and you want to get into it. And so we tried to sort of diligently write, you know, I would write these long emails to people. And finally I was getting to the point where I'm like, I can't, you know, I'm getting all these emails. I can't respond. Like, I don't have time to write what I think you need to do every time that I'm getting one of these emails. So I started cutting and pasting and I felt a little like a jerk because I'm like, well, I'm not taking the time, but I don't have the time to write all this stuff down. So then I started realizing I was cutting and pasting and I had a lot of information from these various emails that I sort of had cut and paste. And it was a lot of the same information, but there's a lot there. And I can't tell you in one email or one cup of coffee what I think you should do or can do. Like, sure, yeah, I could give you like, these are my top three suggestions off the top of my head, but I realized that it needed more compilation. There needed to be more sort of information compiled together on various elements. And so the idea came like, okay, let's just write this book because I don't see anything out there that I can already tell you, go get this. And if that's not out there, then there's an, you know, a hole sort of where people need this information and it's not easily accessible. And there were books out there on voiceover and voice acting, but they were either really old, so a lot of the technology had changed, or it just didn't feel like it was, I don't know, practical or useful. Or it was very technical. Like, there were books out there I remember reading because I went to the library to see, well, what's out there that I could recommend? Because I'm getting all this, you know, requests. And so I went to the library and there were like these books where there were like diagrams of a microphone and the cone of the sound.
It's
around
amazing.
And the degree of the angle that you would, and I'm like, this doesn't help you at all. Like, what, how is this going to help you? Like, if you're maybe an audio engineer and you need the exact degree, like, no one's going to carry like a triangle into the booth and like
a measuring tape to make sure they're standing in the right spot.
Exactly. And so I was like, well, clearly there's this hole where people are looking for this. Well, let's just fill it.
Yeah.
So over the course of a year, we wrote that, we did just that. We put together all the questions that we'd been getting from emails and sort of looked at that. And we were like, well, this seems to be what people are looking for. And then we realized, but we're not the experts, and we know a lot of people in this business that know a lot about it. And anytime you ask anyone their advice or their opinion, you're only getting their perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And so we wrote what we think and what has worked for us, which does not mean it's the only way to do it. But we also reached out to a lot of people in the voiceover world, both directors and actors and audio engineers and casting people. And we said, can you just give us anecdotes so that people get your story too, so that you're not just getting our story? And so we sort of compiled all of that and combined it. And then, of course, Yuri doesn't believe you should publish books that don't have pictures. So we got a cartoonist, Drizzy Drozd, to do little comic strips throughout the book, which are really fun. And it's just us being silly, talking about voiceover things and little bitty, like, three-pane comic strip style things. And
that is really cool. That is really cool.
The book's really fun, and everybody seems to really enjoy it. That's read it. We're actually on our third printing because we've sold out the first two print runs.
Good for you guys.
Exciting.
That's great.
Yeah.
So. That actually is a great segue into a voice acting question. And we had the pleasure of interviewing Allie Hillis.
Oh, I love her.
She's so nice, right?
Uh-huh.
A couple months ago, and we were talking about how voice acting has changed a lot since the olden days. We were talking about how, you know, back in the 90s, when voice acting was first in games, you didn't even really have professional actors. And now
right.
There's definitely a craft, and there's people that really excel in this field.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like the industry is changing to where there are actually voice acting stars that are like recognizable by, you know, a certain fan base? Do you feel like that's a change for the better or for the worse? Or do you guys enjoy kind of being behind the scenes?
You know, that's a really tricky question. It's a really tricky question because on one hand, you're right. It's exciting that it is becoming a career unto itself. Like, people are voice actors. I don't call myself just a voice actor because I'm so passionate about all the on-camera stuff. And like, you see our web series and we make film and we do television. So I'm not what would be considered just a voice actor.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's exciting that it is now being looked at as a profession unto itself. Like, there are people and the only job that they have is being actors using their voice. So they're not seen, but they're acting. Now, I think it gets very muddy when you start going, they're a voice actor and they're a real actor, because that's not true, because you're still acting. Whether you see the person or not, you're still acting. It's like saying Andy Serkis is not a real actor because you don't see his face on screen. He's a real actor. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
We're all actors. You're just known for using your voice rather than being visually seen. So I think that's exciting, that it's now becoming something that is becoming respected and admired and a viable profession, I think, is really exciting. I also think it's nice that people are actually standing out in that arena. You know, I mean, you look at, there's some really talented actors that are doing a lot of stuff in voiceover, and you start to know their names. You know, you know the Nolan Norths and the whoever it is that you watch their shows, their TV shows, their video games, or, you know, their anime series. Like, you start to know those people and you become familiar with them, and everyone has a voice signature and you start to hear that, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that can be really nice too, because those people are getting respect for the work that they're doing. And I think that's important. Whereas, you know, it used to be oh, if there was, you know, a guy cleaning the closet and they needed something said, they just get him to come in and do it. And it didn't really matter because nobody thought it was important. Mm-hmm. I think it's nice that that's changed. Now, all that aside, I think it can be sort of a dangerous path to go, well, it's celebrity driven. By celebrity, I don't just mean like A-list on-camera film star celebrity driven. That's a whole nother issue unto itself. Mm-hmm. But if you start to just have these celebrity voice talent actors that are actors that are doing voiceover work and they're very much known for their voiceover and you start to listen to them, I think that's not fair too because it's not giving them credit for being able to change things up. Like I think Nolan had a really hard time after he did, oh my God, I just blanked on the biggest video game in the world.
Uncharted?
Yes, thank you. After he did Uncharted, I was going to say Drake, but I was like, that's not the name of the video. when he did Uncharted, I think he got a bad rap because people were like, well, he's that. He can't do anything else. And that's just not fair.
Yeah.
You know, it's a disservice to his talent, and he's extremely talented. And it's a disservice to their imagination and to their being willing to go on the journey. I mean, you go see whatever Julia Roberts movie's in the movie theater because you know it's Julia Roberts playing a different character. It doesn't mean that that should be any different for someone who's an actor doing voiceover, getting to do a variety of roles for you.
Yeah.
And so I think there's a little bit of, it's a dangerous ground too.
No, I couldn't agree with you more. And it is sad because a lot of you guys are so insanely talented and aren't, like you said, just voice actors. You're just actors. And a lot of you can do a number of voices. I was at, I think Star Wars Celebration and Dee Bradley Baker was there. He does Samurai Snake.
He's so good. He's so very good.
Insane. He did a thing where he went through like a ton of voices in a couple minutes. And it was absolutely mind blowing. Just that level of talent, you know?
Yeah.
And you know, he's done, his resume is absurd, you know, not just voice work, but just everything.
For good reason, because he's so good, you know?
He also seems like a super nice guy, too.
Oh, he's so nice to work with.
My first impression, yeah.
He's delightful. But that's the thing, too, is not every actor that does voiceover has a range like he does. I mean, he's really extraordinary. But, you know, you can be a very good voice actor and just not have quite as wide of a range, but that still doesn't mean that you can't bring something different to the different roles you're portraying. And so it just gets a little muddy. And then there's the whole issue of just stunt casting, which is taking a celebrity that's famous on camera or in film or something like that, that's a known person, and just sticking them in for the name value.
Yeah.
And I think that's not fair to the project either.
Now, well, a lot of times that just doesn't work because I don't think a lot of times the film actor who's used to, I mean, this is just a generalization, who's used to a different type of work really puts that, you know, the level of energy that a lot of you guys put into a role, and it just doesn't follow through a lot of times, you know, you'll get.
Right. And sometimes they're great. Sometimes they're really perfect. And sometimes it's exactly what you would have wanted. But then other times it feels like they're just phoning in a performance, and that does a disservice to the story that's being told. And I think that's not fair.
Yeah.
So
I agree.
So I don't think you should just stunt cast for the sake of stunt casting, but at the same time, if it means the project gets made, I'm all for it, because then that means that there's a project out there that's gotten made that might not have gotten made had that person not agreed to do it, because that's how money works. you know, that's how projects happen, is because someone's willing to finance it. And, you know, so it's a very, like I said, it's a very tricky question, but I think you
answered it pretty well, actually.
Oh, good.
But that actually, another good segue. Like I said, I was blown away. I loved your performance in Saints Row the Third, and I was really surprised because there's actually six different playable lead parts in that game, if that makes any sense. So you can pick between six different avatars. Each one has a fully voiced performance. Uh-huh. I think the game, like when I was done, I think I played it for almost 30 hours. So it's not a short performance at all.
Yeah.
How long were you, do you remember how long you worked on that project, roughly?
Well, I don't remember exactly, because it's unlike working on a project where you just start and you do it completed and then you finish it and that's the amount of time you've worked on it. With a lot of these VO projects, you'll come in, you'll do a session or a couple sessions at a certain point in time, and then the game developers or game designers will go off and work on it, and then you may come back and do some more. Like, so it's not just continuous. It's not like I said, oh, I worked 3 weeks straight on that and then I was done, because it's a very kind of, you know, it was a several month long or half a year long process of us going in and doing a session here and there. So I don't know exactly how many sessions I ended up having, but I do know that it was a number of sessions, which some video games I just go in and I have one session and then I'm done. So this was a more intensive game just because it had a lot more loops or lines. The number of line counts sort of was a higher loop per character sort of line count game, if that makes any sense.
No, it does. It does.
Okay.
And, and I was actually surprised at like the depth of, it seems to me like almost that every script would have to be different for all six of those lead arcs.
It's interesting. Actually, when we were recording, what they would have is a lot of studios do this now. It's sort of like an Excel spreadsheet that has all the lines in it so that they can have it all numbered and you can sort of sort by a character name or sort by, you know, so it's easier to access. And because everything's done on computers or iPads or whatever, it's not wasting all that paper.
Oh, okay.
And so we would get to a section and literally you would have like the interaction. And then you'd have six different players' response to that interaction. So it would have, you know, the various ones of the six characters of us, and then a line from whoever was getting the information from, and then the six characters' response to that. And sometimes several of the characters had a very similar line, and sometimes based on who our character was, we would have a very different reaction. And so it was really fun because you could sort of see what different characters would have said given that particular experience.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there was also a couple different points of the game where it has to do with it being a cutscene versus gameplay, and that just means whether, well, I guess that's sort of self-explanatory, but whether it was a scene that was more like a cinematic or versus just us playing the game. Mm-hmm. And we all had to match the mouth flap for the character because they could only animate it once and then drop our characters into it or something technical like that.
Oh, wow.
So they actually had Troy Baker, who's playing one of the players, come in, record all the lines, and then we all had to, for those particular lines, match him timing-wise using our character's voice over his pronunciation of the lines. It was literally like, we were all like, oh my God.
That's ridiculous.
It's really tricky to try to take someone's cadence and inflection and particular performance and then layer it with yours on top of it. It just was very tricky, so it was fun.
Very, very cool. Very cool. Well, that role was a lot of fun, so I hope you get a lot of positive feedback on it.
Oh, people. Thank you. Well, I've had a lot of good, really, sort of responses to that, and it's fun to get to play a character like that and get to play with an accent, too, because you don't always get to do that, and so...
Yes. That accent was hilarious. I loved it.
Yeah.
It was so good.
I had so much fun playing with that when we were in the booth.
did you... Okay, now, that, I mean, you're like... You're a trained actress and everything, so you've probably practiced your accents before. But when you went in and read for that, did they have that accent literally in mind for that character, or were you like, hey, check this out?
Well, no, they had said they wanted like Eastern European, some sort of Slavic-ish. You know, they're always a little hesitant to say we want this particular accent when it comes to that sort of Eastern Bloc.
Yeah.
You know, so I sort of... When I hear that, I'm like, okay, well, I'll do this, and if it's too much, it's too much. We'll pull it back, or we'll sort of play with it and massage it a little bit. But they seem to really, really like it, but it was really funny. I hope I don't get any of the game designers or developers in trouble for this. But when we first started recording months ago, it actually was listed as black character, and I was like, am I going to offend everybody that I'm reading black character like this? But I guess it had just been, they were just numbering them, and they didn't know exactly what they were doing with all the various characters, and so it was just funny to me. I think maybe it wasn't black character, it was African-American character, so I was even worried, like, I was like, oh, God. Because if it had been black character, I might have thought it was, like, black, purple, red, green. I might have explained it as a color, but it wasn't. It was African-American, and I was like, oh.
That's so good. So good. Yeah. Are you guys, just talking about conventions, because all of us here at the site are huge convention nerds. Are you guys bringing Shelf Life to any conventions this year, maybe Comic-Con or anything?
Yeah, that's our hope. Actually, we're trying to put in to actually get a panel. So fingers and toes and elbows and everything crossed.
Oh, cool.
That would be really cool because hopefully now, by the time Comic-Con comes around, we'll have aired a full season 1 and 2, and we may even be through season 3 as far as airing online, which is, there will be a lot of content out there. And it would just be nice to actually be able to reach out to people in that sort of way. And of course, we will be at Comic-Con whether we end up doing a panel or not, and we will be pimping out and promoting as much as we can. But
awesome. Awesome. Well, we will definitely see you there. And
thank you. Yes.
High fives and all
crossed.
That.
Definitely. Fingers crossed we'll actually have a panel because
that would
be
cool.
Exciting.
That would be great. Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually just read something, the San Diego Convention Center just signed something to actually expand within the next couple of years, and it's going to get even bigger, which sounds insane. But
that does sound insane, but it's good because I know one of the things was there was a talk of them trying to move it up to, is it Anaheim or LA or something, and everyone was sort of opposed to that. But I know they were looking for more space. So
yeah,
that's good, I guess.
That's very cool. So we're coming close to the end here. Do you by chance have any other stuff you want to plug or any sites people can visit, like where to find you guys, all that?
Well, we're pretty easy to find online. I mean, we just have websites that are our names. So I'm taraplatt.com. Yuri is yurilowenthal.com. We're also really easy to find on Twitter if you want to follow us. I'm at taraplatt. He's at Yuri Lowenthal. Shelf Life is at Shelf Life Series. Our book is at VO Voice Actor. Trying to think. We also have a feature film called Tumbling After, which is a psychological thriller that finally is out on DVD now, which we're really excited about. It just came out in December on DVD. So
it's ridiculous. Do you guys ever have time to actually sleep? Or?
Oh, no. Please sleep. So that's our first feature out. And our second feature is currently in post. And you would really appreciate this. It's called Con Artists. And it's a mockumentary that followed a year of us going to conventions playing heightened versions of ourselves.
No way.
And it's ridiculous. And it's really funny. It's actually very, very shot cool. at conventions throughout the United States. And I think there's actually a couple that are up in Canada. But there's you know, it's very silly. And we're not really playing ourselves, but we're playing ourselves. So it's very sort of funny. It's very sort of Christopher Guest mockumentary style stuff. And so that'll
super
be coming
cool.
out.
Yeah, I would definitely love to see that.
Yeah, so that's sort of fun. And then what else? If you watch TV, I'm going to be on Castle on Monday night, which is kind of cool.
No way. That's very cool.
Yeah, and then I'm actually doing this thing called Commercial Break, which is an online TV show on thestream.tv.
Okay.
And
okay.
They're interviewing me because I've been doing a series of Snapple commercials over the last couple of years. And so on Monday night, you can either watch me on Commercial Break on the stream, or you can watch me on Castle because I think they're going to be on the same time.
Oh, awesome. Well, hopefully we get this out before Monday, and that way we
exactly.
can direct some people to those for you. That'd be awesome.
Exactly. So, yeah, and then, you know, just checking out the book at, you know, voiceovervoiceactor.com or the web series, shelflifeseries.com or the YouTube channel. That would be great.
Well, thank you so, so much.
Thank you. It was great to get to chat with you, and I'm really glad that you're excited about all this stuff.
Yeah, I'm totally excited about it. And I wish you guys the best with all your, gosh, dozens of endeavors you guys have going.
Thank you. It's important to stay busy doing what you love, because if you love what you do, you're not, you know, working.